You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
All right, here we go. Yep. All right, welcome to High School Hoops. Before we jump in, and I am on a tight 11 minutes here. Coach knows I have to go off to my youth.
Coach has got a youth meeting.
A youth meeting. So we're on a tight 11 minutes.
Part of being a hot coach, just for those
ones. It is. But before we do that, I got a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. They are improvising. They give so much free stuff away. If you don't follow them on their social media and go over and to their website and get on their mailing list, it's silly because they give so many cool things away. And mention us, you'll get $450 off. That will always be the highest. If you mention Coach Collins or any of our podcasts or me, I will always make sure you get the biggest discount coming through us. That's part of my deal with them, because I want to take care of all the listeners. And the second thing is go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you like this content and you want to help out, I've got two kids in college. Oh my gosh, I'm an empty nester. I'm eating ramen right now. So if you want to help out, come over and join for a couple months and help me. I just wrote the checks for the first semester.
This is why I do so many podcasts.
I may never retire. Told my wife, oh my gosh, I may never retire. Okay, so today's topic, this was my idea. What is, and here's the topic, what is the hardest thing to prepare for as a coach? So if I'm running something against you, coach, or you're running something against me, what do you think is the hardest thing to prepare for?
I would say to replicate a team that is really good at pressure, full court pressure.
It's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say athletic pressure.
And especially in the full court, but even in the half court, when you have good teams, just good. You got deep teams, that, especially when they deny that, they deny that wing pass, you know, the Duke style defense. And it's obviously not meant, that style of play isn't meant for every program. But when you have a team that can run that style of play, it is really hard to replicate and prepare for. Because unless you have 10 really good players, your pressure will never mirror, or the way that they play defense will never mirror or prepare. You'll feel that your team is fully prepared for that opponent.
So what do you do to get ready for it?
Well, I think you got to find ways to be able to maybe do like 6v5 or 7v5. If you can be able to do that, and adding more players to make it a little bit harder. I think that's a good thing.
I like to know more player thing, but it really doesn't simulate because the angles aren't there. It's a math thing for me. I like it and I do it. One of the things that I've noticed is, especially when we're getting pressure in the full court, is I'll try to put constraints on the press break. I will try to put constraints, like no dribbles. So the five people that are out there can know that they can't dribble, so then therefore can pressure them more, because I want them to feel that within the constraints that I can do it. Again, you saw some of my teams 10, 15 years ago. I mean, you couldn't prepare for them. Like, I was just going to blitz you. Like, I mean,
which you would, duh.
Yeah. Yeah, and no one could prepare for it. And once in a while, we'd have an off night and a team would be, but the easiest way, and especially at the youth level, I see this, it's what will get you in trouble when teams pressure you? Too much dribbling, right?
Can I piggyback off that? Years ago, you did an awesome DVD on press breaks. Okay. You know which one I'm talking about?
I did. It's on Teach Hoops if you want to see it.
It's awesome. It's the best press break. Sideline break. But the one thing that you read on the defense, and I've been doing some reading on just beating pressure, is teaching kids how to beat pressure with not thinking about the press break, and I got to put this press break in, and this press break is, all right, when you get the ball, you need to look forward. You know, you got to, you know what I mean? The things, how to beat pressure and how to attack pressure, like the concepts behind it is really important. You know, teaching them how to attack it, right?
It's the angles too. It's angles. Like if you watch that thing, it's about where, so you catch the ball.
Putting people in the right position, right? Yes.
And it's the cutting across in the front.
Yep.
So again, can you 100% do it? Absolutely not. If you can find kids in the, if you're a girls coach, what the girls, our girl coach does is they have guys from the school come in and do it. So that helps for us. If we can find alums, or we can find maybe our bench is pretty athletic. So there's ways to do it, but when you can't, you're right. You have to teach them angles. You have to teach them how to catch the ball. You have to teach them how to look. One of the biggest things is how to protect the ball when you're getting pressured like that, and to also peek or look at the opposite rim, because got to be like a quarterback.
And I would say that it's just like one thing I have penciled down this year is what I want to do is just a couple times during the week is just when I'm playing against teams that are denying what I'm going to do. How do we do that? You know, I'm going to have my team have go against their offense, but the defense isn't going to run our principles. They're going to run complete denial. And I want them to be able to feel comfortable against that and know what to do against that. I think it's just something you can't do one or two times. I think it's something that you constantly have to prepare on a weekly basis in small parts of your practice. It's like, what are you going to do when the pressure really comes up? You just can't do it in 2 days. It's got to be something that you do through the duration of the season. I don't know what your thoughts are. But I think it's
I agree. I think you have to look at your schedule and figure out these two or three teams are going to cause me problems. I got to prepare.
Yeah.
But another thing, so I think pressure is the number one. I think number two is a team that's going to come down and just run you, like run their stuff, just like off, especially offensively, just grind you. Like, I am going to swing the ball seven times and I am going to look for this specific shot. And this I think those are sometimes hard to prepare for if you aren't a type of team that can try to take them out of that situation. You know, when I had some of those teams that could pressure, we had our biggest problems with teams that could out-execute and out that, you know, we couldn't turn them over. We couldn't get them going fast. We couldn't do some of the things that we want to do. So it was kind of that. So if you're
– but I think the other thing, too, is when that pressure, it also can ruin your offense, too, because sometimes it forces teams to play at a different speed they're not used to either. So it's learning even how to adjust when you do get – you beat the pressure. How do you adjust your speed back to the speed that you feel comfortable with? And you know what I'm talking about is that, like, even though you might not be pressuring and trapping the entire time when you're having that pressure, you're getting that team to play out of their comfort zone and start to take shots that aren't very good shots. They start to have a travel or two. They throw the ball away because they're not in the speed of – they're not – adjusted to the split as play, but sometimes they're not even making mistakes because they're being trapped or throwing it to people's hands. They're making mistakes because they're playing at a speed that they're not comfortable with.
And that's that's the hardest thing to prepare for is when someone
also creates speed tempo problems for teams as well. It's more than just you're coming at me. That pressure is also going to affect how we do offense as well.
I think it's the hardest part too. I think personally is people taking what's hard to prepare for is when a team takes you out of what you like to do. That's going back to the pressuring or the speeding up. And that's why,
go the other way too. They could be slow, methodical. Yes. You know, yeah.
It's the preparation. I think that's the hardest. That's what you got to think about. Like, how do I prepare my team for that? It's hard because all of a sudden a team hasn't zoned for 15 games because I've scouted them, and all of a sudden they throw a 2-3 at. Like,
but I do think, though, out of anything to prepare for is when you've got to play teams that are very athletic and pressure, because you got to have certain kids to emulate that. I think it's easier to practice against slow, methodical teams than pressure teams. So
I would agree. I would agree. But those,
you got like 1 minute and then you got to get out of here. I just want to let you know, we're real on T-Troops. I'm looking at the time for you.
He's looking. I know. No, but I think you're right. It's like, it's hard about that. It's hard to prepare for the unexpected. It is. You know, when you have that fast team, sometimes it is harder to slow them. It really is. But yes, I agree. Down below in the comments, tell us what you think the hardest thing to prepare for. And
then maybe we'll talk about it in the weeks.
And another one. I think that one, that little, that team with all the littles that can shoot threes is hard to prepare for too.
I agree.
They're like, crap. It's like every one of them, like we played a couple teams this year, felt like every one of them could shoot threes. It's like, and it's probably not true mathematically. But all right, till next week, Coach.
All right. Sports Social Podcast Network.